The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that very much. Wasn't that good? Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 6. And I want us to see exactly what the Lord is teaching here, where the Bible says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." When we think about a time of being able to reap, God says that there's a way to reap bountifully. So a person has really a choice. They have a choice to be able to reap sparingly, and they have a choice to be able to reap bountifully. And I think that's up to us as to the degree that we reap in, if you would please, comparison to the way that we sow. So I want to talk about reaping bountifully. How is it that we can reap bountifully? Now you understand, of course, it's written to the church at Corinth. And why is it that the Holy Spirit would seem to pound on them a little bit about their sowing? Well, I believe the Lord wants to bless all. And so what he does to those of us that are believers, many times the Holy Spirit of God will reveal something to us, and sometimes in a pounding nation, if you will, to be able to show us exactly what he'd have us to do. And so let's consider here some of these verses. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, I know the forwardness of your mind. I think about this. That word forwardness means the zeal. It means the spirit. It means the eagerness. It means the readiness of the mind. So God says to this church at Corinth, he says, I want you to know that I know your zeal. I know that you have zeal. I know that you have a spirit of eagerness. I know that you have a spirit of readiness, a ready mind. And then he tells them what he knows that they have the spirit of this ready mind about. Now, as we look at this morning, I want to give you some principles this morning that could be very helpful to us in this principles, if you would please, that has to do with giving. You know, today was a big sacrifice for many people. We've been planning on it for about 6 months or so. And so today, a person might step out in faith and they trust God. But then after stepping out in faith and trusting God, you may have a degree of doubt. Whereas if God would bless you because of the faith in which you stepped out upon. And so let's look at it. Could we do it scripturally again? And notice again, if you will, that one scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. He says, "But I say unto you, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." So there's the principle of giving. It's called the law of the harvest. Now, what is that? So to the degree that we decide to sow. Now, it's not just talking about finances. It's talking about perhaps forgiveness. It could be talking about that which is joy. It could be talking about that which is giving of yourself to someone else. But in this case, of course, it is primarily to the church at Corinth talking about finances. Now when he talks to that church at Corinth, he's talking about sowing that which you have bountifully. I lived on a farm for years when I was coming up in Millers, Maryland. And did you know if we sowed sparingly, then come harvest time, we would reap sparingly. But if we sowed bountifully, now by the way, it takes more work to sow bountifully. It takes less work to sow sparingly. We could go out to a field and prep the field and make sure the field was all prepped and do all the labor on just a small field, just an acre. But if we chose to prep maybe 50 acres to be able to plant, then it's going to take more work in prepping 50 acres than it would simply to prep the 1 acre. And that's what the Lord is teaching here. We have a choice as to how we sow in our lives. You could sow and taking the same verse and using it in every matter of life. You could take that same verse and you could talk about how you could sow in your marriage relationship bountifully. And as you do, eventually, you'll reap bountifully. You could take it and look at it and speak about sowing sparingly. And as you do, you reap sparingly. You could take and look at this or the way that you labor at a labor place and at the workplace and you sow bountiful hours and putting in the labor at the workplace. And so you reap bountifully from your laborious time of putting those hours in. You can look at it as sowing sparingly and putting in just a few hours, and you reap certainly what you sow. So there's the principle of giving, if you will, please, as you give. Now, of course, the church at Corinth, he's talking to them, and he's expressing the need for them to get involved in this particular principle. So there's the principle of giving, symbol number one. Symbol number two, and once we get into the principle of giving, we understand the purpose. The purpose. You know, many times, you know, somebody visits a church. Let me give you an example. Somebody visits a church, they may not understand everything about the church on their first visit. They might not understand everything about the church on their second or third visit unless they begin to inquire and they begin to ask questions. Well, what do you do here? What do you do there? Why do you do this? And why do you do that? And what's the reason for this? And how come we do this at this time of season? And why is it that we run buses? And why is it that we support missionaries? And why is it that we have a huge track rack in the hallway? What's those tracks all about? And why is it that the music is the way it is? And why is it that the church functionally goes forward the way that it does? And may I say that there's the principle of you giving. You give yourself to get involved in something, and as you get involved in something, you learn more about it. You learn the purpose of it. You learn why we do the things that we do. And many times we do what is right, and then we are able to learn about the benefits of that. You get on a bike and you ride a bike, and you ride that bike maybe for several miles, and you do it every day. And you understand that there's the principle of putting yourself on that bike and pedaling that thing several miles a day. But you don't see the benefit of it. You don't see the purpose of it until after a while. You rear your children according to the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And by the way, child rearing sometimes is a very difficult task, especially in the present day in which we live. And so to rear your child for the Lord sometimes is a challenge and a difficult task. And you might have challenges with that endeavor of being that godly parent that wants to help your child to take the right steps in the right direction. But now, wait a minute. If you put a lot of effort into that, later on, you begin to see the purposes that come out of that. See, here's what he's saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 7. The Bible says, "And every man according," it says, "as he purposed in his heart, so," it says, "let him give." Not, it says, "grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." The word "grudgingly," if you would please, means out of pain, out of sorrow, out of grief, out of an annoyance, out of agony, out of affliction, out of mourning, out of heaviness. By the way, last night when I was sitting in the chair and those kidney stones started hitting me real hard, and boy, I'm sitting up in that chair and I cannot rest. I cannot go to bed, and I sat up three quarters of the night, and can I tell you for sure, I was in agony. Almost like this particular word here. When somebody goes to give, they're in agony. You know, it's killing me. Oh, there's a mourning time that goes on. There's a painful time that goes on. There's a sorrowful time that goes on. There's a grieving time that goes on. There's an annoying time that goes on. But the Bible says that they're not supposed to give grudgingly, and they're not supposed to give out of a necessity. What does that mean? It's not because of something that's been imposed, if you would please, a circumstance or by a law or by a duty. God says that he loves that which is the cheerful giver. Now, I've never been in a church where I've seen a lot of people give cheerfully. I've never seen that. I've seen people get happy because of a song. And I've seen people get happy because of preaching. But I've never been in a church where I've seen many people get too happy about giving. Now, why is that? Well, it might be because they've not seen the other side. The Bible says, "Taste of the Lord and see that he is good." Amen. You know, many times one of the last things that a person would trust, isn't it funny? We'll trust the Lord to save our soul and take us to heaven. But we won't trust the Lord for our living. We'll trust him for the eternal, but not for the temporal. But did you know one of the last things I find out in dealing with believers, one of the hardest things and one of the last things that they'll ever commit themselves to do is with their billfold. Now, isn't it true? But the Bible says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All right? So where you're investing now is where your heart becomes later. You know, it's so very important to understand that there is that principle of giving. There's that purposeful giving. And the Bible says that we're supposed to give cheerfully. Now, by the way, why is it again that people don't do that? Many times they don't do that because they've never tasted of the Lord in that vein, if you would please. They don't know what it is to give, and then God give back to them bountifully. They don't know that. They've never tried that. They've never tested that. They've never walked down the road to be able to see that. And God wants us to be able to abide in that which is His good grace, and abide in His good pleasure, and abide in His good blessing in every avenue in our life. So statement number one, there's the principle of giving. Statement number two, there's the purpose of giving. Statement number three, there's the promise of giving. Now watch this, if you will. Look at verse 8, 2 Corinthians 9, 8. The Bible says, and the Lord is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. So God says this. He says, here's what we can learn from this. First off, when we obey the Lord in our giving, we understand this, that now we understand the purpose of it. And as we understand the purpose of it, God says, I'm going to give you a promise. Now, here's the promise. The promise is that He said that all grace shall abound unto you. He said all sufficiency in all things, He says, may abound, it says, to every good work. So here's what God says. God says, as we take and we do our part, He says, you're not going to lack in your part. Oh, I tell you for sure, I remember times many years ago in evangelism when we would travel and we would do right and we would go soul winning and we would pray and we would encourage people to come to church and we'd preach and we'd teach. We'd do everything that we're supposed to do and live the clean lives and do everything that we're supposed to do. And I remember getting alone with God and I'd say, now God, you're going to have to take care of our living. But you know, I would much rather trust God to take care of my living than man to take care of my living. Because God is more just than man. God is more righteous than man. Oh, I wish we could get it this morning, dear beloved. If you could understand this morning that when you have problems, when you have agonizing times, when you have shortcomings in your life, when all of a sudden it just seems like that the world is mistreating you and misjudging you and is unjust to you and is unfair to you and is coming against you, do you realize this morning that you can kneel down in a private world, in your private chamber, and meet with a holy God, and the same God that's the God of, yes, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God that's alive today and the same God that can answer your prayer today and the same God that can come through to help you today and the same God that can show you what to be able to do when you're walking in your wilderness and walking through the hard times and almost overcome by temptation. He is not going to forsake you. He is not going to walk away from you. He is not going to leave you stranded all by yourself. He is God, and He'll be there for you. Now, I'm saying this. There's that principle of giving. There is that purpose of giving it. It creates a purpose. It creates an intent. It creates a focus. When you do that and you're focused and you obey God, He says, I'm going to tell you this. He says, all grace, it says, abound towards you. All sufficiency. No. Now, you got to trust Him all the way. You can't trust Him part of the way. You try and ride a horse and only get halfway on, you're not staying on very long. You try and ride a bike, but you've only got one foot in the pedal, you're not going to pedal too far. You try and get in a car and you try and take off driving a car when you're 3 years of age, it's not going to work. Now, for those of us that are mature Christians and we get in there and we say, look, it's about time I trust you. It's about time I put you first. It's about time that God, you just don't have some of me, you have all of me. You don't just have a part of me, you've got all of me. God, I give you everything that I've got, lock, stock, and barrel. There's that principle of giving. That principle of giving will promote that which is a purpose. That purpose promotes a promise. And what is a promise without a prize? Watch what he says here in verse 10. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10, the Bible says, and he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your, watch the terminology, for Holy Ghost makes no mistakes. It says for your bread, it says minister, it says He says, he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread, it says, for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Sounds like it's all for you. Sounds like God's trying to take care of you. Talk to somebody that's a missionary and they're in the, on the mission field of a very harsh place, and it just seems like that there's danger that lurks on every waking hour, and yet they have to live in that jungleless, infected insect type of area, and yet you talk to them and they say, well, I tell you, this is wonderful. Yeah. I'm so happy. Now, how can they do that? I can tell you how they can do that. They can do that simply because they understand that God is the one that has their best interest at heart. God's the one that's got your best interest at heart. We don't serve a selfish God. We serve a God that does care. We serve a God that does love. That's how come your Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's a giving God. He's a caring God. You can look at this book this morning and you can say, well, I tell you what, God's in it for His own profit. God's in it for His own gain. And I'd have to beg a difference with you this morning, because if that was true, He would not have given His Son. But He gave His Son for you and I, that we could have forgiveness of sin, we could have eternal life, and God has your interest at His best interest. He's looking to try and help you. Amen. That's how come every single verse that you read in your Bible this morning is for your good. Every single verse that you read in your Bible this morning is for your benefit. We look at God and say, well, God, you don't have a right to ask that. He's asking it for your sake. Well, God, you don't have a right to expect that. He's expecting it for your sake. Well, God, you don't have a right to be able to say that I ought to do that. He's saying that you ought to do that for His sake and your sake. Can I say this morning? That you have a God that is not somebody that is about me, if you will, but our God is about you. He cares about you. He loves you. He wants to help you. That's how come the Bible says over in the book of James and chapter 4 and in verse 8, where He says, draw nigh to Me and I will draw nigh to you. We take that step. Brother Palmer, if you'll stand right there dead center and face me. Here's what happens. I'll use him as an illustration as God. And so God says, hey, Mike, He said, I want you to take a step. Now, here's what I've showed you. I want you to take a step. I've showed you truth. I've showed you truth. And thank God that you're in a church that preaches truth. Amen. I'll be preaching a message tonight on I fear churches that do not preach the truth. Amen. Churches are cutting up the Bibles. Churches are throwing the Bibles out. And I tell you for sure, it's destroying America. Amen. But now watch this, if you will. Here's the way God works. Here's the way God works. He says to me, He says, now, Mike, He said, if you take a step, He said, you draw nigh to Me, I'll draw nigh to you. And so I start to draw nigh to Him, and He draws nigh to me. I draw nigh to Him, He draws nigh to me. I draw nigh to Him, He draws nigh to me. All right, what happens here is as I take a step towards, He takes a step towards. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, He says, call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. He says, first you call, then I answer. Right. If you don't call, I can't answer. Amen. The same principle is true when it comes to finances. The same principle is true when it comes to you forgiving someone. The same principle is true when it comes to your living. God said, look, I've given you the truth. You've got the truth. You know what to do with the truth. He said, now you step out and you obey that truth. And when you obey that truth, the light's going to come on. You're going to realize what the purpose is. The light's going to come on. You're going to realize that there's a promise that's wrapped inside of that gift that's called a purpose. And you're going to realize that inside of that promise, I'm going to be good to you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be the one that gives you seed. I'm going to be the one that meets your needs, because you stepped out and you did what you were supposed to do. That's a good God. I remember when I stepped out and received Christ as Savior. When I did, He didn't turn His back on me. Amen. He said, come on to Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. I'm laden and heavy laden, and I just don't think that I can make it. He said, come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But he's not going to give you rest unless you come to him. It's not going to happen. See, here's the way we are in our society. Now, by the way, I thank God that we live in America. But being an American and living in our society presently the way it is, you live in a very plush, lavishly arrayed life. Much different than, you say, you don't understand where I live. No, I understand where everybody else lives. You're not in a third world country. You know, for those that are here this morning, and you live maybe in a hotel, and you're paying night to night, or week to week. Maybe you're here and you live in a trailer, and you can see more outside than you can in. Maybe you live in some apartment, and they're charging you an astronomical price. And you say, boy, I live in a very pitiful place in this area. It's just a very pitiful place, and there's crime, and there's shooting, and there's drugs, and there's all sorts of problems. But you take that compared to the nations of the world, and you are living like a king. You're living like a queen. See, God has been good to us, our Christian nation. God has been good to us. Can I say, listen, as we understand, though, why has God been so good to America? Because America, at one time, was comprised of mostly those that were of the Christian faith. Most of those that were born again. Now watch this, if you will. Holy Ghost of God, once you get saved, comes to abide within you. As he abides within you, he changes you. He changes you. Well, you know, preacher, I think we need to vote in a different president. Everything could be all right. Well, I agree with you on that, but I'm going to tell you something better than that. I believe if America would have old-fashioned revival and people would get right with God, you could have a great nation regardless of who's in the White House. Now, I'm saying this morning, please understand that he says, I've got something for you. He said, you trust me. You go forward. You obey me. You take a step. Let's get back to the place where you and I, we don't play religion with God, but we're serious with God. We obey God. We do what God wants us to do and let God be God. Watch this, if you will. He says here, he says now, he says, he that ministers seed to the sower, minister, it says, both minister bread, to, it says, for your food, and to multiply your seed sown, and to increase the fruits of your righteousness. God said, I want to tell you, I'm in it for you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you to see this principle. I'm trying to help you see it's for your food, for your increase, for your fruits. He said, I'm trying to help you to see that there is that which is I'm trying to do for you, and you can call it a prize if you want to, but God is doing it for you. Watch this, and I'm almost done. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:11. Chapter 9, look at verse 11. The Bible says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes, it says, through us, watch what it says, thanksgiving to God. So here's what he says. He says, we're being enriched with all bountifulness because it's happening through us. In other words, we are the ones that's in part of this. We're the ones that's giving. We're the ones that's involved in this. And because of that, we get to see what God is doing. And that creates a thankfulness. I don't know how many of you give to the bus ministry, but I want to show you something. There's people every week of the world, on that tithing envelope, they'll give a special dollar. Or $2, or $3, whatever the case may be. They'll put it for the bus ministry. And did you know every little boy and every little girl, every teenager, every man and woman that rides the bus, you've had a part in every spiritual decision they've ever made? We run 7 buses to those, I say we run 7 buses to those that are underprivileged. They don't have the privilege to own their own car, but yet they want to come to church. We have, I guess, now upward to 50 plus workers that work in the bus ministry, and they go out there and they work all day long, or many of them all day long on a Saturday, and they do that. Why? They do that because they want to see somebody come to know Christ as Savior. They want to help somebody to be able to come to church and be able to learn the Word of God. Now, can I say this? Please understand that when all of a sudden you get to see people's lives change, it brings praise back to God. We praise because of the fact we had a chance to be a part. And we're not talking about buying a lottery ticket. We're not talking about putting money on a horse down at the racetrack. We're not talking about betting on a dog. We're not talking about going in and taking a chance at a bingo game. We're not talking about that. We're talking about something that's sure. We're talking about being used of God to change a life. Rose Hobbs came to me this morning, and she said, I'm early. And normally she's not. Normally she's right here in Sunday school, you know, but on time, but normally not early. No. And she said, Preacher, you know why I'm early? I said, why you're early? She said, because every Sunday morning I pass out tracts. And she said, this morning I got out there and I ran out of tracts before Sunday school, so I thought I might as well just, like, come on. Well, what a testimony. Amen. See, you can take and be used of God to be able to do anything that you want by passing out a tract or passing out some literature or encouraging somebody to be able to do the work of God. We were in a restaurant the other day, I forget who I was with, and on the way out, I started passing out tracts, and when I passed out tracts, this guy stopped me. He said, you know, this is the 11th one that I have gotten in the past 3 months. I said, really? I said, what's that tell you? He said, I guess it tells me that your church cares. Brother Butler, I think it was, Brother Butler went visiting with me yesterday afternoon. We stayed out for a couple hours visiting yesterday afternoon. And I walked in the gas station down here. And when I walked in the gas station down there, the lady said, hey, Pastor, oh, it's so good to see you. She said, I'm so glad you're my pastor. Now, she didn't come here. She has never been here a day in her life. I'm so glad you're my pastor. And she said, you know, Pastor, she said, you know, that lady over there. She said, that lady down there. She said, Pastor, that lady down there, she needs you to pray for her. She's going through a rough time. Well, I did like you do. I said, okay, I'll do it. But then I was leaving. And she said, oh, no, come back now. I said, now? She said, yeah. And she told the lady, come here. Pastor's going to pray for you. So lady came over. Isaiah was spending time with the lady. Oh, she was so thankful. She was so thankful. Now, can I tell you that you can help people. You go ahead out there in the world and walk down a while and sing and praise God for what he's doing. And let Christ shine through you, not be bottled up inside of you. God says, I'm done. So what happens here? We understand a principle. We purpose in our heart that we're going to obey that principle. As we purpose in our heart, we get to see the promises of God opening up, because as I'm drawing nigh to God, God is drawing nigh to me. And that's every area of life. Please listen to me. That's every area of life. Somebody said, I'm having trouble with my teenage boy, and I don't know what to do. I can tell you what to do. You take and you get him by the hand, and you help him to draw nigh to God. And God promises he'll draw nigh to him, and he'll taste of the Lord, and he'll see that he's good. Watch this. I said, there's that principle of giving. Then as you get a principle of giving, as you get involved and you get involved in giving, here's what takes place. There's that you begin to understand the purpose. Then inside that purpose, there's a neat little package, if you will, that God shows you his promise. And inside that package is a nice little prize. I don't know if they still do it. Cracker Jacks. I remember the day
Amen.
When I used to get Cracker Jacks. Now I don't know if they still do. I don't even know if Cracker Jacks still exist. They still exist? Still exist, okay.
Amen.
I don't know if they still do this. They still have the little thing inside of it? Wow, they hadn't changed. How about that? And But I remember as a boy, I'd get the Cracker Jacks. And I would not take my time and just eat one at a time. Chew it up thoroughly. Then swallow. I wouldn't do that. Forget that. I'd pour it all out. I'd stick my hand up there and it was all stuck because of the gumminess of the sugar. And I'd stick my hand up there and sometimes I couldn't get it out. And so I'd tear apart that box. And I'd get that little bitty toy that was worth probably a half a penny. Then I begin to play with the toys, I'd eat my Cracker Jacks. Can I tell you, I want you to think about this for a moment, please. You know, God says, here's what I want you to understand. The more you get involved with me, the more I will get involved with you. The more that you invite me in is the more that I do come in. The more that you abide in me, the more that I will abide in you. And he's talking about that abiding blessing. Watch this, if you will, and I'm done. Here it is, verse 14, the last verse, and I'm done. Here's what it says. He says, and verse 14, we're in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 14. The Bible says, and by their prayer for you, it says, which long after you have exceeded grace of God in you. So he said, look, he said, I'm telling you this. He said, there's other people that's going to notice. He says, by their prayer for you, by their prayer for you. You know, when you get involved, man, you start praying for other people. You say, man, I wish they'd get that. I just wish they'd get that. I just wish that God would open their eyes and they'd see it. I wish that they'd get it. I wish that they'd see that truth and they'd be able to grab a hold of that truth and that truth would now become their truth. I just wish they'd get it. And did you know that shows your growth in the Lord? Come on, have you ever done this? Have you ever found out something that was a gold nugget in your Bible? Gold nugget in your Bible. You ever found a gold nugget in your Bible? And man, you went to tell somebody else about that gold nugget in your Bible, and they did not get excited. You know, you're like, man, look at this. This is so good. Let me tell you. Wow, look what God showed me today. And they sit there. Did you see it?
Uh-huh.
Well, isn't that good? You say so. But to you, it's a gold nugget. You know why it's a gold nugget to you? Because God gave that to you. God, and to you, it's special. I remember the first time God ever answered my prayer. I was praying for a Bible. Never will forget it. Never will forget it. I had been saved for just a little while. Didn't have a Bible. And so I started praying that God would give me a Bible. And God gave me a Bible. Now, I still got that old Bible. Now it's all brittle. I mean, the old leather's all hard. And I still got that Bible, and I cherish that Bible to this very day. That was the first prayer God ever answered in my life as I became a believer back in when I was 18 years of age, back in the 70s. Did you know? Listen to me. I remember that day when I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And when I remember that, and I remember how He became my Father, if you would please. God the Father became my Father. And I could go to Him and I could say, God, I need You to be able to do this for me. There are many times when I was in the ministry, I said, now God, You called me in this thing. And I work for You. Now, I've been frugal with my monies. I've been frugal with my money. But I got this bill. And God, this is not my bill. I mean, I'm in this thing for You, and I work for You. God, You got to take care of this bill. You know, and God would take care of those bills.
Amen.
You know why? Because when you enter in, God is the one that walks beside you, and God is the one that helps, and God is the one that will strengthen. God is the one that will meet that need. But you got to be able to trust Him. Let's do it one more time. Come help me. Watch this. Here's what He says. And I love this. I can live my life however I want to. Stand beside me. I can live my life however I want to. Okay? And I can go to guys and say, look, would you pray for me? I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. Would you do that? And that's all temporal. And that's good. You need friends. I need friends. We all need friends. That's good to have a friend. I can go to my friend, and I can say, boy, I tell you what, having a hard time, and I need you to pray for me, and would you walk beside me and help me? And he says, oh, yes, I will. I'll walk beside you, and I'll help you. And he walks beside me, and he helps me, okay? Now, if he's a good godly friend, he's going to say, well, you need to get along with the Lord. And so he'll push me there just a wee bit. And so, and sometimes that's all it takes. Hello? Sometimes that's all it takes. And so, but then I get to see God showing up just a little bit in my life.
Amen.
Yes. All of a sudden, preacher preaches something. Woo! Pushes me a little bit. And I get to see God show up a little bit in my life. That's why. Now, I love you in the Lord. I'm so glad you're here. Can I tell you that? I'm glad you're here on Sunday morning. God bless you. I'm glad you're here on Sunday morning. I'd rather you come on Sunday morning than no time at all. But for those of you that could come on a Sunday night, you don't, you're missing something.
Amen.
Because see, here's the thing. The more I draw closer to him, the more he draws closer to me. It's that relationship. You get married one day and you tell your wife on your wedding day, you said, well, I love you. And she goes, well, I love you too. Then I ask you, and I say, well, have you ever told her that you loved her again? No, I told her 15 years ago. We got married. That's enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. You have to continue to hear that. You have to continue to grow. Boy, I love it when our teenagers come walking down the hall and say, preacher, I was reading my Bible this morning. Let me show you what I got. And I love that. I love it when one of her men would text me and he'll say, preacher, just want to let you know, as I was looking through my Bible this morning, here's something I got. I love that. I love it when my daughter comes down and she'll say, hey, daddy, I was reading my Bible tonight, and let me show you what I got right there. Or one of my boys. Now, I'm saying that here's what happens. There's that little bit of a nudge. You need to come on Sunday night. And you step in, you start tasting. Ooh, that wasn't too bad. Ooh, that didn't hurt me. Ooh, I like that a little bit. Ooh, I think I learned something. Ooh, wow, that tasted good. Ooh, wow, I think I'm going to go try that. Then I get nudged again. And I get closer and closer and closer until I'm walking to God so much that when somebody comes up with me, they said, let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question because I believe you're going to tell me what God would tell me, because you've been walking in that book so much that you would tell me the mind of God. That's the way it ought to be in your life.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.